Good? Okay, good. Okay. Tav Chaf Gimel Amud Beis. We're going to begin the new sugya. Still the same issues, but a new discussion. So, good time to start. Right in the middle of the wide lines, Tav Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, right in the middle of the wide lines, you have the Tanu Rabbanan. First word on the line is She'ein. Basically, right in the middle, move a few words in, you got Tanu Rabbanan. Alright? So, we're in the middle of discussing what you do and don't do with tefillin on. So, Tanu Rabbanan. Haroitza likanes lisudas keva. If a person wants to go in to eat a proper meal. So first the Gemara gives you a good eitzah, a good idea. Mehalech asara pa'amim, it's a good idea to clear your system. So therefore, walk 10 times, dalit amis, 10 times back and forth, four amis, oy dalit pa'amim yud amis, or walk 4 times 10 amis, meaning walk 40 amis, all together, back and forth, v'yipanim. Then you'll probably be able to clear out your system, and will defecate. More healthy to eat that way, and also more convenient than having to run out in the middle. I'm sorry? Oh yeah? I didn't see that. Interesting. I'd like to see that. I'll find that. Okay. V'achar kach nichnas. Then you go in to eat. Okay, this is the eitzah. Now the halacha. Omar Rabbi Yitzchok, hanichnas l'seudas keva, if you're going in to eat a proper meal, choylet tefilov, you must take off your tefillin. Let's remember, people wore tefillin all day long. You took it off for a meal. V'achar kach nichnas. Then you go in. You're not allowed to wear tefillin during the meal, not because there's anything wrong with eating with tefillin per se, but because in those days they drank during the meal, and therefore there was always the risk of getting drunk. That person, when wearing tefillin, always has to be in the right state of mind.
Is it not a concern about the metabolism, and then that by eating is going to cause him to need to relieve themselves? Just proportionate measures?
Apparently not. Apparently we say that, you know, if you need to, you would take it off.
What if he's having breakfast or a meal without any wine whatsoever?
That doesn't help. As long as it's a proper meal, we'll see soon, we'll define that. There's a blanket gzeira. So we said you have to take it off before entering the meal. Upligid Rabbi Chiya. Now this goes against Rabbi Chiya. The Amar Rabbi Chiya, because Rabbi Chiya said, "Minichan al shulchanai." Don't take it off before you go in. Take it off at the meal itself. When you're at the table, before you start eating, take it off. Leave it on the table. V'chein hadolai. And that is a more splendid way of doing it. Meaning, the person shows how he is not distracting himself from the tefillin, he's waiting anxiously to put the tefillin back on. He has them on the table ready for, as soon as he can, he's going to put them back on. What is as soon as he can? Can you say something? What's that? Lunch or breakfast, which was kind of brunch. In those days, they used to eat kind of like brunch. Right, right. Then he would be taking it off for the night already. Right. Vad Amas. Now, until when do you have to have it off? When can you put them back on? So, Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Ad Zman Bracha. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok says, until you're ready to make Birkas HaMazon. Meaning, once you're ready to bench, might as well put them on already. You finished eating. Bench with your tefillin on.
The proper meal defined as something as
making a month. So the proper meal is defined as more than a kibbutz of amotzi. Round up chov gimel amud beis, two thirds down the wide lines. More than making amotzi. You can have a quick snack even with washing, with tefillin on, as long as it's less than a kibbutz. Kind of like we say with regard to hilchas sukkah. So if you're wearing tefillin, let's say you're staying in shul a little bit afterwards to learn, and you keep your tefillin on, you can drink a cup of coffee, or whatever it is. You just can't have a proper meal with your tefillin on. Proper meal meaning washing and more than a kibbutz of bread.
Putting them on the table is not shashu, getting them dirty.
What's that?
Getting them soiled with food or something.
That's interesting. I guess you'd have to make sure to keep it far enough away. That's interesting. whatever it is, you see here, again, I keep bringing out the point that the state of consciousness people are expected to be in all day in those times. We keep seeing here how tefillin requires an alert and awed state of consciousness, and this is basically what people did their work with this. People did their work wearing tefillin. Because, again, the point of tefillin is that you are, it's like we said, it's your radio to Hashem, right? And you always wore your tefillin, which meant you always had to be in that proper state. But probably the problem is that you may become intoxicated. This is really this is incumbent on us all the time, right? This is just an enhanced, it turns into mamish halacha. But all of us have the chiyuv of shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamid, right? To always be walking around with that odd state. In those days, the mamish manifested halachically. You were wearing tefillin all day long. Today we say it's a little too much for us. So we don't actually wear the tefillin, but that state nevertheless is still expected as much as we can.
Okay.
What's that? That's an interesting question. I would assume so. I would assume so, because you see, for example, that the only time we don't do Birkas Kehanim in the at Mincha time because of that, the only time we do it is Mamash in a fast. Right? During 9 days certainly would not be good, because that's a minute. It would be the Shavua Shechal, but the actual week, even that is only a minute, when it would be eating on Erev Tisha B'Av. Erev Tisha B'Av. This is a Mafsekes. That's really when Meikra. When else do you have Meikra? Then you're not allowed to eat meat. An Oinen. An Oinen is not wearing tefillin anyways.
Wine.
So also, an Oinen is not allowed to drink wine. He's not allowed to wear tefillin anyways. When else would you have a weekday that you're not allowed to eat meat or drink wine, essentially? And Avil Ken, yeah. Okay. We had thought it said that people who would always make a point, they always felt that they had to keep themselves the epitome of presentable because of the fact that they were interacting with Hashem all the time, all throughout the day. Okay, as much as we can. Okay, so that's that. It's simple enough. Now we move on to what's actually a very fundamental sugi in halacha. Let's see. Tani Chad. One brisa says, "Sayre adam tefillin im ma'osav ba'afrak susay." A person has a kerchief, which he's going to keep his tefillin in. Can you keep money in there too? It's a pouch. He's going to keep his pouch on him with his tefillin. So one brisa says, yes, you can keep money with your tefillin in the pouch. V'tanya idach. And another brisa says, lo yotze. You're not allowed to keep money with your tefillin in the pouch. So how do we resolve this contradiction? Loy kasha. It's not a conflict. Hode azmene, hode loy azmene. It depends if you designated this pouch for tefillin. If you designated it for tefillin, then it must be used exclusively for tefillin. If not, then you can use it for other things too. I just want to note that this does not mean that you can actually have money with the tefillin in the pouch. It means that you can use it for money too, and you don't have the tefillin in, or if you would tie into two separate areas, that's what Rashi says here. You certainly cannot have tefillin with money together. That's a zilzul in the tefillin. But it means that either it's a pouch that you're tying anyway, it's a kerchief, so you make two separate knots, or you keep it at separate times. So if it's been designated as a tefillin pouch, you're never allowed to keep anything else in it. If it has not been designated as a tefillin pouch, even though you'll use it for tefillin, when you need to keep your tefillin in something, you can use it at other times for other things as well. Oh, so that's right. Nowadays, and we're going to be really getting to that soon, it's also to put anything in the tefillin bag. Even though there is room to wonder about that somewhat, because your tefillin are not directly in the bag, they're in the plastic boxes. We're going to see soon, we're going to mamish get into the particulars of how this works. But nevertheless, don't use your tefillin bag for two reasons. Even though it's the tefillin are not directly in there, first of all, the ritzuis, the straps, are likely to have, if not the same status as tefillin, also a similar status. And since the bag is serving the straps, that might already render it a Tashmish Kedusha. But besides that, we'll see soon, since the bag is intended not just to hold the tefillin, but our bags are decorative, and they're made to service the tefillin not only in the sense of holding it, but also in the sense of decoration, that itself renders it a tashmish kedusha, which makes it also to keep anything else in it. So lemaisa, yes. A mirror should not be kept. Oh, so the black ink I'm not sure about, and I'll explain. A mirror should not be kept in the tefillin bag itself. It should be kept in the either in the talus bag or in the plastic bag outside. The plastic bag doesn't have kedusha. Ink might be different. I'm not sure because ink is actually meant to service the tefillin itself. Perhaps it's different. I'm not sure. Play safe by keeping that outside in the plastic bag as well. As we'll move along, we're going to see we'll see some more particulars. But here we're mamish getting into the fundamental subject of what we call tashmish kedusha, which means a kedusha accessory. By the way, there's a misnomer here. People generally just call everything that they consider a holy tashmish kedusha. Tefillin is not a tashmish kedusha. Tefillin is kedusha. Tashmish kedusha means an accessory of kedusha. Tefillin is not an accessory. That's the kedusha itself. Tashmish kedusha is one notch down. The bag, the tefillin bag, that's the classic case of tashmish kedusha. And that's one notch down. The box also is a tashmish kedusha. The straps, it's questionable. They might be, for all practical purposes, we should consider it kedusha itself. Because the straps, you have the way it's tied so as to form the letters of Hashem's name. And therefore, we try to treat the straps as actual kedusha. Straps should never be on the floor. That's right. We mentioned this the other day. People are not careful enough about this. Probably not aware enough about this, but straps should not be on the floor. Okay. We're going to see some more details as we go along. Now, Da'amah Rav Chisda, as Rav Chisda said, Hay sudra de tefillin, a kerchief of tefillin, so here really this is a very fundamental rule. How does something gain the status of a tashmish kedusha? So if you have a kerchief of tefillin that you designated as tefillin, tzar beit tefillin, and you did actually put your tefillin there, also lemeitzar beit pshita, you're not allowed to put money in there. So let's note there are two conditions. It has to be designated and it must have actually been used. One without the other does not render it a tashmish kedusha. If you designated the kerchief but you never actually used it as such, or let's say you do keep your tefillin in it but you never designated it, in the morning you keep your tefillin there and then afterwards you keep your lunch in there, so you can keep money in there. It only turns into a tashmish kedusha if you designated it and also actually used it as such. And this is halacha l'maisa. Like, for example, a brand new tefillin bag, even though it's mamish made as a tefillin bag and everything, as long as you haven't put tefillin in there, you can keep your lunch in it. Something that's designated for kedusha but has not been used for it is mutter. It's only if you have both, it was designated and used to service the kedusha, that it becomes usher as a tashmish kedusha, and then you're not allowed to use it for any mundane purpose.
I just wanted to say that basically the salat, I heard a mace, which I did. When I bought a brand new tefillin bag, I wrote out all my details on a piece of card and stapled it inside the bag. Okay? Before I put my tefillin in.
Before putting your tefillin in.
Right.
The question is, if that's a problem, once you put your tefillin in, will you have to take it out?
Once I stapled it to the bag, it becomes part of that.
Okay, so that's one argument. That's one argument. Another argument is to permit doing that is that what's that? He puts his information, name and number, staples it to the tefillin bag.
From the inside.
What's that? So what's that? Or not? What's that? Well, tefillin, a tefillin bag that's made as a tefillin bag is automatic. That pretty much, practically speaking, automatic designation, right? But also, I don't think that that's called using the tefillin bag for something. Are you keeping it there because you want to have the card there?
No.
Exactly. So that's not called using the tefillin bag for something else. So anyways, I don't know if we have to come on to the lumbus here. But Examples would be the mirror and things like that, right?
What about, does that make a tefillin bag that you don't want to use anymore?
Yes, it certainly does. A tefillin bag that you're not going to use anymore, it's a tefillin bag that became worn out. Again, once something is attached to Kedusha, it has permanent Kedusha. You're never allowed to use it for anything else, nor are you allowed to throw it out. You have to put it in Sheamus, or what we call, you know, Geniza, right? It has to be buried away properly. A tefillin bag that's worn out, you can't like use, I don't know, to keep a bracelet on or something, right? It's permanently Kaddish.
A talis bag,
what's that? Ah, tzitzis is different, and a talis bag is different. And here, let's delineate the rules of how this works. There are a few levels. As we said, it's kedusha itself. This means something that has inherent kedusha because of what it is. Right, tefillin, it's full of psukim, right? It's tefillin, right? Sefer Torah, etc. This is inherent kedusha. This is something that obviously you can never use for anything else. And of course, when it gets worn out, you have to bury it away properly. Sefer Torah is even more stringent to Allah, because it has to be buried mamish in an earthenware case or its modern day equivalent. That's kedusha itself. Also, if you stipulate that you're going to use, when you're making, let's say, a Sefer Torah or a tefillin or something like that, you stipulate that you want to be able to use it for something else, it doesn't help. Once something becomes kedusha, you're never allowed to use it for anything else. Tashmish kedusha is one notch down. That's again a kedusha accessory, something that's meant to service kedusha, e.g., tefillin bag, a Sefer Torah belt, the mantle of the Sefer Torah, the cover of a sefer. Right? Okay, that's another example. The cover of a sefer. What's that? A mezuzah cover. That's right. All these things. Only if it's designated in use. And all these things you can never use for anything else. Once they can't be used anymore, you have to store them away. You have to bury them, or store them away in a permanent way. Then you have things. What's that? Well, in a broad way, the difference is that a kedusha item, once it's made, there's no issue of, you know, he has a designation, no designation. And another difference we'll say momentarily. Then there's what we call tashmish de tashmish, the accessory of the accessory. The classic example of that is the plastic bag outside your tefillin bag. The tashmish de tashmish has no kedusha. The accessory is accessory. Right? The plastic bag the plastic bag covering your tefillin bag, you can throw in the garbage. When you finish with it, you can certainly keep anything else you want in there. You can stick in a siddur, ink, mirror, whatever else you want. Then we have things like what you mentioned. Then we have things that are not kedusha. It's what we call tashmish mitzvah. This is a different category. Something that doesn't have inherent kedusha, its only value is the mitzvah that it services, right? And the classic example of this is tefillin, a talis, a lulav, a shofar, etc. These things, while they're actually being used for their mitzvah, should not be used in other ways. But once it's not being used for the mitzvah anymore, you can even throw it out. You can throw it out, just you can't do it in a disgraceful way. Like you can't put your lulav right into the garbage can with all the garbage. You can wrap it up, wrap it well, and put it in the garbage. Even that's somewhat questionable. But let's say, or you can burn it, right? That's what people, many people have the meaning of saving the lulav and burning it. Or you can use it for anything else you want. You can once it's not in use anymore. What's that? Oh, that is another classic. That's right. That's a big problem. The din is that yes, a tashmish mitzvah, something that was used as a mitzvah, you're allowed to throw out, but you're not allowed to disgrace it. Throwing something in the street where people are going to trample it is very clearly stated by the poskim as a form of disgrace. It's a big problem. Every year after Sukkot, you know, I don't know, I spend a lot of my time picking things up and moving them to the side, but in mamish, it's also, you see it mamish there for the kids to jump on, and it's wrong. It's wrong. What you can do is, if you want to get rid of it, you have a couple of ways. It's either you wrap it well and then you put it near the garbage. Don't put it into the garbage. Put it near the garbage, let them take it away. Or you simply dispose of it by throwing it somewhere, you know, one of these big open places or something like that. But to put it in place. What's that? Well, if it's well wrapped, there's what to. Yeah, right. It should be well wrapped. And then there's what to rely on. Even then, there's room to argue, but then there's what to rely on. Okay. Now, by the way, I want to note, just when we talk about Kedusha, we have to realize that all Sfarim, printed Sfarim, etc., all are considered Kedusha articles. And that's why the cover of a Sefer, for example, is called the Tashmish Kedusha. It's just important to know this, because also, I see people making a mistake. For instance, puts a tefillin bag on top of a Sefer, figures that it's a Tashmish Kedusha, it's more Kaddish than the Siddur. It's not. Siddur is more Kaddish than a tefillin bag. You can't put a tefillin bag on top of the Siddur. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. If it has one pasuk in it, a paper that you write a pasuk on is called Kedusha.
I saw brand new combustion that were never used yet, like in stacks on the floor. And I was told that until it's actually read, it doesn't have the Kedusha.
A new sefer before it's been used has less Kedusha. It doesn't not have Kedusha, it has less Kedusha. Therefore, for the practical implication of this is that normally if you want to put a sefer on the floor, it has to be elevated at least a tefach above the floor. We'll call that 4 inches. Okay? Whereas a new sefer doesn't have to be elevated a tefach, but it can't be directly on the floor. And therefore, I doubt that you... Exactly. It has plastic wrapping, and I'd imagine that that's what you saw. I doubt that you actually saw the sefer straight on the floor. Right. If it has plastic wrapping, you can put it straight down, which you can't do for a sefer that's been learned in. Okay. Fine. Ba'amine, we'll move on. Either speaking it out or putting tefillin in it, intending to permanently use it for this, is called designation. Right. Yeah. What's that? There's room to argue that, yeah, it's problematic. The printing of psukim and divrei Torah and just distributing it, you know, like in all the mailboxes where it's going to get thrown out, is not. We'll say it's not gishmak. But there's room to argue that as long as it hasn't been read, that's a limud zchus, so we'll call limud zchus. You want to justify what they do, that's how you can justify it. But it's not ideal. There's room to justify it. We can't condemn it, but it's not ideal. Yeah, he said the same thing for invitations also. That's why many places can very much discourage writing psukim in invitations, even though that also people who are lenient have grounds, but we could say that it's not ideal. Okay. What's that? What are the grounds for writing psukim on invitations? So there's a couple of possible grounds. First of all, if it's written in sometimes when it's written in circular form, there are poskim that argue that that's not called proper writing and that you're allowed to throw it out. There is such a svara that I saw brought down that does not seem to be, I don't think that it's considered standard halacha, but again, it's a justification for those who do it, but something that in the first place is printed in a way that it's understood that it's going to be thrown out, doesn't have the same level of kedusha. I don't know. Okay. We'll move on. Ba'aminei Rav Yosef Breider Rav Nechunya Rav Yehuda. Rav Yosef, the son of Rav Nechunya, asked Rav Yehuda, Ma'o shi'aniach odom tefilov tachas mera'a sheisof. Can a person keep his tefillin under his head? Meaning you go to sleep at night, can you put it under your pillow? Or under your head? Can you sleep on it? Now there's a bit of a toss-up here. It obviously doesn't seem like the most respectable thing to do, to use tefillin as a pillow. But on the other hand, remember that in earlier times we said that leaving them by themselves anywhere was problematic because it was vulnerable to mice, etc. So you wanted to keep them as under your hand as possible. So that's the toss-up here. Can you keep it under your head? Can you sleep on it? So tachas ma'giloisav loy kami bayli. Just to keep it under your feet is not a question at all. That I'm not asking. Because that's mamish disgracing it. ki kami bayali. My question is, kachas mera ashoisav mai. Can you keep it under your head? Lamaisa, it doesn't seem very respectful, but maybe it's acceptable, especially since you want to protect it. I'm sorry? Right, right. Which is all part of the this is what he's asking. Well, you're right. We'll see soon. It means putting it underneath the pillow. Right. We'll see soon. So, he answers, Amale, he answered, Hachi Amar Shmuel. Here's what Shmuel said. Mutter, it's permitted. Afilu Ishta Ima, even if his wife is with him in bed, meaning even if they're going to be having relations. And as we'll see soon, it's problematic to have Divrei Kedusha in the room where you're having relations.
Sure, it's covered.
What's that?
It's covered.
Well, meanwhile, we didn't say that it's covered. Let's remember that in those days, tefillin bags weren't necessarily a given. We're not sure yet if it's covered or not. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. So the Gemara says, Meisavei. That's so. Lo yaniach odam tefilov tachas magiloisa. You're not allowed to keep your tefillin under your feet. Mipnei shenoeg ba minig bizayin. Because you're treating them disgracefully. But you can't keep it under your head. But if your wife is with you, asa, then it's asa. You can't keep it under your head. Where do you keep it? If you have a place, it's three tfachim above, or three tfachim down from your bed, mutter. That's mutter. Whatever it is, Tiyuvta de Shmuel Tiyuvta. This is a refutation of Shmuel. We see clearly in this price that you cannot keep your tefillin in your bed with you when you're having relations. But now listen to this. Omar Rava. Rava said, Afal gav de Tanya Tiyuvta de Shmuel. Even though this price refuted Shmuel, said don't keep your tefillin in bed with you when you're having relations, Hilchese Kavase. The Aloha is like him nevertheless. Why? My time, why is that? Kol linturinu tfei adif. Whatever you do to protect them, that takes precedence. Meaning, as we said before, there's a toss-up here. It's a conflict of interests. On the one hand, you don't want to treat it disrespectfully. But on the other hand, you want to protect it as well as possible. So therefore we say we tip the scales in favor of the protection.
But why can't you just keep it somewhere else in the house?
What's that?
Has to be doctor kept in that room. Why you could find a different place.
The problem was, in those times, the truth is that for us, practically speaking, it's true, if you have another safe place to keep it in the house, do that. In those times, things that weren't kept mamish with you were vulnerable to mice, etc. Specifically, tefillin and things like that. So therefore, people mamish like to keep them in their hands at all times. And this was by sleeping on it. Right, that's basically what we're saying here. The most important thing is to keep them all protected, and therefore that's the cover. So here's what the Olam was raising. So where do you keep them? What does that mean? You keep it under your head. Do you sleep directly on the tefillin as a pillow? So Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Ben Kar Lekeses, you keep it between the pillow and the sheet. Sheloi Keneged Roshe. And also, you do not have it directly under your head. Directly under your head is also considered a disgrace. So you have it, yes, under your pillow, but to the side. Not right under your head. What's that? Bein kar lekeses, between the pillow and the under pillow or the sheet, whatever it is. Yeah. Yeah.
So you're using the pillow.
What's that?
You're using the pillow, but not that
you're right now. Right. 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 Kind of have it off to the side. That's right. This is, well, let's keep in mind, this is all a heter due to necessity. And that's why the place can stress. If you have a different option, use a different option. This is a heter due to necessity.
Why do we have the what was the whole thing about the three tefachim high or low?
So that the Bryce said that you're not allowed to keep it in your bed if your wife is with you. You have to keep it either three tefachim above or under your bed. But we're paskening that since we give precedence, the overriding factor as far as we're concerned is keeping them protected. So keep it even with you in your bed, but not directly under your head. Off to the side under the pillow. I'm sorry? No, but Shmuel said you can keep it with you. The Braisa clearly went against Shmuel. But we said, you know what? We're going to go with Shmuel anyways. The Braisa said you can't keep it in your bed when your wife is there. You have to keep it either three tefachim above or below the bed. But we're saying, no, we're following Shmuel nevertheless. Just don't keep it directly under your head. Keep it off to the side. So the Gemara says, V'atani Rabbi Chiya, you're saying that you can't keep it directly under your head? Rabbi Chiya said, Menichan bekoiva. You can keep them in their bag. Koiva here means a bag. Don't get confused with the modern Hebrew. You can keep them in their bag, tachas mirah sheisav, directly under your head. So the Gemara answers, Demapik le lemusha de koiva leva. No, what that means is that you have the bag is being held by the pillow right underneath your head, but the tefillin itself, right, the bump, is outside of the pillow. So the bag is under your head, but not the tefillin themselves. Part of the bag is under your head. Okay, so what are we concluding here? What we're concluding is that yes, you can keep tefillin under your pillow even when you're having relations with your wife. L'maisa, the way the place can put this down is that, first of all, as we said, this is all due to necessity. It's only if you have no other option. If you have a different option, you should certainly opt for that other option, i.e. keep it in your office or in the other room or something like that. But when there's no choice and when the tefillin are talking going to be vulnerable to the elements or whatever it is, you can keep it under your pillow. But you do have to have it in the bag, meaning the pillow should constitute the second covering, so that at the end of the day it's double covered. Oh, so that's coming up now. Let's see. Rav Shisha Breid Rav Idi Monach Lu Ashal Shifa. He would keep it on the bench in his room, Upalis Sudre Ilavayo, and he would spread a kerchief over them. So really, this is representing the halacha that yes, if you have some sort of divrei kedusha in your room when you're going to have relations, you have to have it double covered. So it's either the way we've been seeing, when you have nowhere else to keep it, you'll keep it under your pillow inside the bag. Otherwise, if you have the Rikdusha Nuhum, they have to be double covered. And this is important to note. When a person is having relations, you have to make sure. People usually don't keep your tefillin in your room, but if you have any sort of sefer, siddur, etc. in your room, you must be sure that the siddur is double covered. This also applies to Kriya Shema Alamita, etc., etc. You can't leave any such things on the night table. When you're having relations in the room, any such things have to be double covered. What's that? Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped a line. Yeah, Bal Kapara Tzayeluhu Bekilta. Bal Kapara would tie them in his canopy. Umapik Lemusha in Levar. He would have it sticking out on the outside of the canopy. Right. And then we have this about Rav Shashifa putting it on a bench. Now this halacha about the bench is significant because yes, it's representing the concept of a double wrapping, right? You have any divrei kedusha that you have in the room have to be double wrapped, but there's a significant point here. He put them on the bench and he put something over it that covers it from the top and not from the bottom. That's good enough. Something that's covered from the top is good enough. Even if you, like, you have it safer and you have it on a chair or something, you have two cloths over it, that's good enough, even though it doesn't cover it from the bottom. The chair is one cover, right? Maybe you would argue if it needs to be double wrapped, you have to put something under the chair too. But if it's in a bag, fine. But let's say it's not. The answer is it doesn't have to be. Once you have two things over it, even though it's not all the way surrounded by a double wrapping, that's good enough. If a chair is not totally closed, that's presumably okay. Meaning if it's like, you mean like netting or something like that, that's presumably okay. Yeah. Okay, by the way, also as we've mentioned, this is, you see, you have to keep in mind, this is relevant for the mezuzah also. You have a mezuzah in your bedroom where you have relations, you have to make sure that it's either outside the door where the door closes, or that it's double wrapped. Most of your mezuzahs are going to be double wrapped anyways, because usually they come wrapped in a plastic thing. Once you put them in a mezuzah case, they're double wrapped. Even so, it's still something of a chiddush that helps, because we generally say that it's designated wrapping doesn't count as a separate wrapping, right? So it would seem that you would have to put another cloth or something over the mezuzah. But nevertheless,
either.
Right. According to this, the case wouldn't count. Yet, the Chaye Adam says, a Chiddush, the Chaye Adam says that if the reason you have it double wrapped in a designated wrapping is in order to have it double wrapped, that's good enough. Meaning if you designate two wrappings because of this halacha, you want to have it double wrapped, that's good enough. That's a Chiddush. But Lamaisa, the Mishnah Berurah presents it as the halacha. So therefore, Lamaisa, your mezuzahs, etc., that are double wrapped, you're having in mind for that purpose, that's good enough. Okay. We'll move on. Omar Rav Hamnuna, Bereid Rav Yosef. By the way, we'll just note again two things. As far as tefillin go, as we've mentioned before, when you have your tefillin in your talis bag, is that called the double wrapping? So again, as we've said, the talis bag, the tefillin bag with the plastic, certainly doesn't count as a double wrapping, even though you have the plastic box plus the tefillin bag plus the plastic bag, all that is its designated cover, so all that is called one wrapping. The Mishnah Berurah says that the talis bag also should be viewed as something designated for the tefillin, because almighty you always keep your tefillin there. Nevertheless, he says something interesting. And a typical tefillin bag can be considered double covered because the talis is over the tefillin. We discussed that the other day. Since the talis is over the tefillin, the talis is certainly not a designated wrapping for the tefillin. That's good enough. So if you have your talis bag in your bedroom, where the talis is covering the tefillin too, that's okay. What if a bag has an inner lining? That's an interesting question. I heard somebody ask Reb Chaim Kanievsky that. He said, what happens if you go into the bathroom, you have a siddur in your pocket? So is that called double wrap? Because you got the lining plus the outside of the pants. So he said, Yacholi Yochekein. He said, it could be that yes. Which, coming from Reb Chaim Kanievsky, I took that to mean that probably it's okay. Because, okay. Sorry? That's definitely okay. Yeah, that's clearly okay. Okay. Omar Rav Hamnuna b'Reid Rav Yosef. Rav Hamnuna, the son of Rav Yosef, said. Oh, by the way, just one more point. If you do have Sfarim in your room and you want to put them in a closet, that's also okay. But if they're inside a closet, they don't have to be double wrapped.
What about if you put it in a Ziploc bag? Does it matter that it's see-through or not?
If at the end of the day, meaning if you want to take a pocket siddur with you into the bathroom or that sort of thing,
right,
or you want to keep it in your bedroom, and the Ziploc bag can count as one of the covers as long as at the end of the day you can't see it. Meaning, if you have a Ziploc bag in your pocket, that's fine. Or if you have a Ziploc bag under something else. You need a double wrapping, and it can count as one of the wrappings, but at the end of the day, two Ziploc bags won't do because you can see through. So the transparent bag counts if at the end of the day you can't see it.
A
closed closet. A bookcase with glass doors is probably okay. Why should a bookcase with glass doors probably be okay if you can see it? Because bookcase with glass doors, the glass doors are more than just a wrapping, it's a mechitza. It's a machitza which renders it as though it's in a different room. Now, is that good enough? What happens if it's in a different room and you can see it? Right? So, the Ben Ish Chai says, for example, either Ben Ish Chai or the Chazon Ish, that once it's behind the machitza is 10 tefachim high. Okay? It's high. So, you have a bookcase going up to the ceiling. Once it's behind the machitza, it's good enough. It's already in a different room. Even though the mice you can see straight up. This is something that sounds startling. It certainly feels funny, right, to be in such a situation. But the Maaseh Lefo is going to say that that's okay. Mechitza, once it's behind the Mechitza, that's good enough. I would presume that the same thing applies for a glass door. Because at the end of the day, a glass door counts as a Mechitza. Okay. Omar Rav Hamnuna, Breid Rav Yosef. Rav Hamnuna, the son of Rav Yosef, said, Zim nechoda habakayim nekamei derovah. I was one time before Rava, the Omar li, and he told me, Zil Aisi li tefillin. Go bring me my tefillin. These were his students, his intimate students who served him, who assisted him. So he sent him to his bedroom to get his tefillin. Vashkachtinu ben kali keses. I found it between the pillow and the blanket, the sheet. Sheloi keneged roshe. Not where he would lie his head, meaning off to the side. Vahavi yedane diyem tevila. He was an intimate assistant of Rava. He knew that it was tevila day, meaning he knew that Rava was having relations then. And the reason that Rava sent him to get the tefillin, lagmuran halacha lemaisa huda ovad. He wanted to show him that this is actually in practice. See, go look where my tefillin are now. My tefillin are under the pillow, even though this was actually a day that he had relations with his wife. So that's indeed halacha lemaisa. But again, as we've stressed plenty throughout this year, this is only when there's no other option. Okay. We finished this subject. So, okay, really, bottom line of this subject is really just the halacha that, yes, when you're having relations, any kedusha articles that are in the room must be either double wrapped or behind the mechitza. Unless, again, like we said, we have the special... no one less. Period. Must be double wrapped behind the mechitza. There's a special head to keep tefillin under your pillow, even when you're having relations, when it's the only way. It's the only way of properly protecting it. Otherwise, I don't think it's really relevant nowadays. By the way, I'll just note one other halacha, which is important to note, which also comes out of here. We said before that keeping it under your feet is a bizayin. Is considered a disrespectful way of keeping it tefillin. This doesn't just mean because your feet are on top of it. Mishaburah says, for example, that sometimes you have in some shuls you have boxes under the bench, right, which are fixed to the bench, boxes on the bench where people keep things in. So Mishnah Berurah says you should not sit, you shouldn't keep tefillin in the underneath the bench where you sit. You shouldn't be sitting over tefillin. It's included in this concept of not having your feet over them. It doesn't mean mamish using it as a footrest. They shouldn't be under your feet or shouldn't be under other parts of your body.
What about transparent covers? What about a challah cover?
What's that?
But a challah cover, when you use a transparent challah cover.
Transparent challah cover? Never saw such a thing. What, a plastic?
Yeah,
plastic. A plastic. So, you mean like a cover of safer in a bedroom?
Right. So, it's not good for a safer, but for a challah.
Oh, for challah? Oh, you mean for challah kiddush?
Yeah.
As far as the shilayiris apas mevoishtoi?
Right.
I don't know. Interesting question. Might depend on the different reasons why you're supposed to cover the challah. Good question. Okay. Sorry? Well, actually, the Shel Rosh has more Kedusha than the Shel Yad. Nevertheless, you're supposed to keep the Shel Yad on top. If you have to keep one on top of the other, the Shel Yad should be on top, because when you stick your tefillin into the bag, you want the Shel Yad to be the first one you hit. Otherwise, you're going to run into a problem, because you have to put the Shel Yad on first. And you don't want to pass over the Shel Rosh in order to get to the Shel Yad. So therefore, you should dafka keep the Shel Yad higher up. Okay. By the way, just another important thing to note, because this is also just another piece of halacha lamaisa that comes out of this gemara that people are not necessarily aware of. We've already seen that once you designate something as kedusha and use it as such, tashmisha kedusha, etc., you're not supposed to use it for other purposes. Something this can be very relevant for is a paper that you write divrei Torah on. If you start writing divrei Torah on a paper, you can't use that paper for other things. You can't write a phone number on it afterwards. That paper now becomes designated as divrei Torah. To keep that in mind. This could be relevant.
I have a notebook where I write my kedushin inside the notebook. Is that whole notebook now? I also, at parts of the notebook, I also use it to where someone calls me up quickly and I write down a phone number. Is that whole book now, am I allowed to do that?
What is your das at the beginning? Because das at the beginning.
I didn't overthink it.
So the question would probably, das doesn't help for actual kedusha. Das helps for tashmishe kedusha.
For a shul, don't we say it's
a shul is tashmishe kedusha. A shul is not called actual kedusha. A tanai doesn't help for actual kedusha. So, and when you're talking about a paper with divrei Torah, it's actual kedusha. It's not tashmishe kedusha. So it's questionable. I saw b'shem Reb Nissen Karelitz that if you already started writing other things. And then only afterwards, if the first thing you wrote in it was something mundane, and then afterwards you're writing the Vayteras, in the first place you're going to be using it for both. if you first started writing Divrei Torah and then afterwards other things, that page itself definitely should not be used for other things. What about the notebook as a whole?
But the back page,
I don't know.
That's the whole daf shouldn't be used?
It seems that way. That page itself becomes the actual Kedusha. Yeah. I believe so. I believe so. What's that? What?
Okay.
What's that? Ah, right. Okay.
So
Siddur is a Divrei Kedusha. Yeah. Okay, we'll introduce the next sugya. Just introduce. Now we're moving on to another subtopic. No, so the place came on Matir to write your name and number in the Siddur. I guess it's considered for the preservation.
That's
benefiting Siddur. Oh, so yes and no. It's not so clear. Meaning, yeah, in general, I'd say the Heter is because for the purpose of the Siddur. But yeah, we have to make an important point here. When we're talking about actual Kedusha, its Kedusha is not due to the fact that you're using it for a mitzvah. Its Kedusha is because of its essence. Meaning, tefillin are kadosh whether or not anyone will ever wear them. Whereas a lulav is not. Right? That's the difference between a tashmish mitzvah and a tashmish and Kedusha. Tashmish mitzvah is only has its status in as much as it's being used for a mitzvah. Whereas Kedusha is not like that. And therefore, let's say tefillin, for example, or a sefer. A sefer is kadosh because of its essence, regardless of whether or not someone will be learning it. In addition, people learn from it, and you're allowed to learn from a sefer, Baruch Hashem, right? But learning from it is not considered enhancing its function as kedusha.
Is there a difference with a sefer before you ever learned it?
Yes.
So maybe for Shadaka, write their name and number
before. I hear the mice of the place came are matir. But therefore, for example, things that are just helping the person who's learning the sefer would not be considered tashmish kedusha. If, for example, that's what the place can say, the contemporary place can say that a cover of the sefer is tashmish kedusha, but the bookmark, you know, the bookmark that comes in the sefer is not. Why? Because the bookmark is not servicing the sefer in any way. It's only servicing the person who's using the sefer. The cover is actually servicing the sefer. That's protecting the sefer. It's an important distinction. Somebody once told me, I once pointed out to somebody, he took out some change and put it on his sefer. And so I said, maybe you should take the change off the sefer. He said, no, I'm about to buy a coffee. It's for the sefer. It's going to help me learn. That's a mistake, because it's a stretch anyways. But even if it's a good argument, the fact that it's going to help you learn the sefer is not called enhancing the, it's not called servicing the sefer itself. Sefer doesn't need you to learn it or the tefillin. Its status is ensured even without that. So but nevertheless, the poskim lemaisa are matir. Presumably a sefer that's lost is not going to be as safe as a sefer that's with its owner. Well, I said the poskim are matir to write your name and number. I guess not a chiddush. My Amidova. Okay. So again, you can't mamish put it on the floor. It's kadosh. Why is it more kal? I'm not sure why it's more kal. Again, it's not that before you use it, it's not kadosh. That before you use it, it's more kal. I don't know exactly why. I don't know. Okay. Fine. We'll stop here for today. Thank you.